Happy New Year and good evening to everyone. My name is Jeremy Moore, and I'd like to officially welcome you all to tonight's More Success Team Legal Shield Group Conference Call. We do this call the very first Monday of every month, and what a fantastic way to kick off the new year than with the guest speaker we have lined up for you guys tonight. I want to congratulate everyone for absolutely closing out 2013 stronger than ever. I tell you what, I talked to Pawpaw again today, and I haven't seen him as excited about what's going on at Eagle Shield than he is right now, and I feel the same way with all the new product changes and the new pricing. It's actually the pinpoint and right on, and I tell you what, guys, this is going to be our year. Not only our year as individuals, but our year as an absolutely entire organization. I think we're going to do things this year as a more successful team that have never been accomplished before, and just because the planets are aligned, the stars are right, and now is our time just to be able to get out there and get with it and take advantage of it. So I'm going to quit talking and go straight out to Durant, Oklahoma, to a platinum executive director, a millionaire club member, a six-figure income earner, but most importantly is my dad, and that is Mr. Randy Moore. Dad, are you there?
I am, Jeremy. You know, membership sales are up, recruiting's up, commissions are up across the board. I've just been getting texts. My phone's been blowing up. People have been calling me, texting me. Very, very excited about 2014 and for great things to come. I'm really excited about tonight's special guest trainer. He's one of the very best of the best, one of the favorites in Legal Shield, of course, on our team. But to introduce him, I want to go straight to Ada, Oklahoma. He is a Platinum 5 Executive Director. He's a $500,000 ring earner and original Millionaire Club member who continues to lead our More Success team now after over 30 years, and that's none other than Mr. Ken Moore. Mr. Moore, are you on the call?
Oh, yes, Randy. I wouldn't miss this call for $1,000, I'll tell you for sure. You know, Randy, I also need to congratulate the whole team. I mean, right out of the pocket, right out of the chute, to come right out of recruiting, selling, and finish number year 2013 in style. Appreciate that. God bless us for that. We found favor with God and man, looked like, and that's all it takes. This next person, Randy, you know, we have so many good people on our team, we couldn't even start to name them. In fact, it would be a mistake to try to. But this next person is always a number one team player. Number three producer in the whole United States last year. He's a group trainer, a small business trainer. He's number one salesperson on the More Success team, a platinum executive director, a platinum jacket owner, a millionaire club member, a number five in opening new groups in 2013, has 13,000 personal sales and trainer of the year in 2005. And I could go on and on, but it would take too much of time. And, you know, Randy, it's exciting when you got this. We have many people on our team like this, but this gentleman is outstanding. One thing I believe, more than all these accolades I could give him, what I like best about him is not only a family man, he's a man of God. And to me personally, that means a whole lot. So, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jimmy Parrish.
Thank you, Kenneth. I hope you can hear me okay.
I can hear you loud and clear, Jimmy. Thank you for being on the call.
Thank you so much for the invitation, and Randy and Jeremy, appreciate it, and Happy New Year, and 2014 I'm excited about, because every year we start this business with Legal Shield is a great year. And for those that are not familiar with my background, I am now about to approach, I guess in May, I'll have my 15th anniversary with Legal Shield. Came in May of 1999 and started out slow. I didn't do a lot my first 3 years, sold 37 memberships in my first 37 months with a background as a Baptist minister. But once the light went on in, I guess, the fall of 2002, I really got with it. And over the last 11-plus years, have been able to top 13,000 sales. And I shared the last time I spoke about how I had done that. And so I didn't want to go into that much detail tonight. But when I was thinking about what might meet some needs tonight, I asked the Moore family to provide me, and this was as of the end of November, a list of the top 10 group producers on the Moore team. And I emailed all of them and just asked, what kind of topics did you have in mind that you would like for us to talk about that you would think would be beneficial to you personally in group marketing and your group marketing team members? And I heard from several of those and have tried to intersperse some of those within my talk tonight. One of those that I could not get into what I was talking about was just mainly an announcement that I was not familiar with. A lot of people were not, but I told this particular top producer that I would mention that, and that's related to Moss. And I did not realize that in 2012, the company made a decision to stop calling members a MOS once that member contacts the law firm. We used to do that every five, you know, they would contact them several times during their first year of membership, but I found out that now once the member does call, and they do get, they stay on top of that new member, and once that new member contacts the law firm for the first time, the MOS calls do not follow up. Now, they will continue to do that with pre-cancels, but for those on the call tonight that may not have been familiar with that change that took place back in the spring of 2012, just wanted you to be familiar with that now. But really what I want to talk about for the most part tonight were basically nine sales tips on how you can possibly do a little more in 2014. And I spell more M-O-O-R-E, because not only do you need to do more for your business, but you need to be more involved with a more success team. And I want to give you some ideas from the group marketing perspective on how you can do that personally and with your organizations. And the first tip I'd like to pass along is don't try to sell up. Don't try to sell up. I know sometimes in sales and sales books they talk about, you know, trying to get people to do this and try to sell them up. But really, it's not a good thing unless it's in their best interest for you to do so. Because the moral of this tip is not to sell up, it's to sell right. Because if we're more success team, Legal Shield, group marketing professionals, we're the specialists, we're the experts. We need these people. They're telling us, what do I need to know? Tell me what I need to hear. And we've got to ask the right questions. And, you know, if it's going to cost them more, we tell them that. If it costs them less, they're going to put trust in us. But the key thing about that is we need to have our customers' best interest at heart and recommend a workable and an acceptable solution. Sometimes it may result in a higher commission. Sometimes you may not get a commission. It just may not be the best thing for that person. But in doing so, a lot of it is learning how to deal with objections. And one of the tips that was sharing about, and you'd love to have that, and the best thing I ever heard about how to deal with objections in group marketing was, it's really a 35-year-old a principle that was adapted by a gentleman named Larry Wilson on win-win selling, a book he wrote for the insurance industry 35 years ago, where he described there are only four types of objections. Regardless of what people tell you, there's only four types of objections, and they are the following things. Number one, no trust. They don't trust you. They don't trust the product. Number two, there's no need. They don't have a need for it. They don't feel like they have a need for it. Now, we may feel like they do because we feel like everybody needs our service, but in the eyes of that person objecting, they don't see a need. Number three, no hurry. There's no time sensitivity to that, so there's no hurry for them to make a decision. And number four is no money. And so normally if you can get through, and most all objections would be filed under one of these four headings, no trust, no need, no hurry, no money. So if you can take time on your own and develop ways to combat this, if you use the feel, felt, found theory, hey, you know, Harold Pinson, I understand how you feel. Others have felt the same way, but what they found, and then you come back in there and talk about some aspect of that and dealing with those four things, you'll be better able to meet that person's needs and not just be worried about selling up when that may not be in the best interest of the customer. Number two, make your sales obsession this year helping people. Make your sales obsession this year helping people. You know, if you'll get everything in life you want if you try first to help others get what they want in their life. And, you know, we've heard that with the sales adage before, but if you focus on helping other people, folks, you know, if you focus on helping them first, your turn's going to come. If you make it your business to make other people successful, that can be your mission in Legal Shield, is to make others successful. It could be in your team. It could be helping them to do well. It could be in just with your clients, your prospects, people on your team that do group marketing, is doing some things to help them and be successful. Bottom line, you know, get it out of you and get it into them. Focus on trying to help other people succeed. Use what you know and who you know to help other people, because it's all about building relationships. I've tried to build my business over the last 15 years in building relationships. And one thing happened this past year, and I don't think I've shared on this call, but, you know, I was excited when the broker division came into play and had a chance to do some field training with the Southeastern Regional Broker, Mr. Paul Broyles. And he came down and he just invited himself, said, I want to come to a trade show. You know, I just want to watch you. And so he came down to trade show I'd been going to for 13 years. It's the largest human resource trade show in Alabama. And as I said, I've been in there for 13 years. And, you know, I've known people. I've known people, you know, exhibitors, HR directors, 600 attend this every year in the month of May. And what blew me away was when he commented on the broker line the following day, when they asked him, the broker called the next day, he said, it was like a Jimmy Parrish reunion. He said he knew everybody. They came up, they knew him. And he said, that's what we're talking about in building relationships. So I use that story because I wasn't thinking about that. I was just being myself. But because I've been able to bloom where I was, help other people, and see those things come into fruition with, you know, dozens and dozens and scores of people in there that help me open groups and lead me from one place of business to another, it's all about building relationships. And so make sure that you take advantage of that and realize that this is a marathon, not a sprint. Number three, you need to be a good listener. You need to be a good listener. You must give the communication skill called listening more than just lip service. You've got to actually hear what the other person is saying and make every effort, folks, to understand what's being said. Because not listening to what other people are saying and not saying is a mistake. Because in this business, I think for those who have been around a while, those on the call that may be not quite as old-timers as some of the rest of us, nobody cares what you want or think unless it ties directly to what they, your customer or prospect, is interested in. You know, I'm not trying to make it complicated or drawn out, but once we can get the customer speaking freely, speaking comfortably about their ideas, their wants, their needs, their desires, then you got a sale. All you got to do is get them talking. Get off your script. Ask questions. Repeat those answers back to them. Make sure that that's what you heard them say. And you will go far in this business, in group marketing. Most of us have undoubtedly heard the real estate slogan that the three most important determinants of value in the real estate industry are location, location, location. Well, in sales, especially in group marketing sales with Legal Shield, the three most important determinants of value to the prospects that you're dealing with are listening skills, and listening skills. The one that memorizes the best presentation does not always win in this business. It's the one that meets the needs of their customer. That's the one that's going to get the group open. Number four, show empathy in the sales process. Show empathy in the sales process. People have asked me for years, Jimmy, how do you do what you do? What's your secret? Well, there's not a magic formula, but I think one of the things that's helped me down the road in, you know, developing 13,000 sales and over 300 groups open is basically my minister background on caring about other people and really wanting what's best for them. Because you've got to manage to see this from their eyes, from our prospects, our customers. It's easier said than done, and not everybody can be that way. But when you want a distinctive edge, start envisioning what purchasing our product, what allowing that decision maker will do by allowing us to come in and offer this to their employees does from their side of the table. It's seeing things through, it's a pretty intelligent way of operating the business, but again, it goes back to what I said previously about listening. Nobody really cares what you think. Once you can tie your point of view to the customer's primary interest, their fears, their concerns on letting you in, you'll be well on your way toward establishing a working relationship. And just got to stop and think. One of the things that I've tried to do is what I call pre-call meditation. Because before I go into a place, before I begin presentation, you know, I try to pause and reflect on the person I'm talking to. And I may have shared this on the call before, but my appointment setter, you know, is a very devout Catholic, and she and her mom, who's in her 80s, they pray for my appointments before I go into my appointments. And, you know, I said, you know, I've got the Catholic and the Protestant side done because I'm praying that if I can just get the Jewish and the Muslim community, I'll have them all cornered. But anyway, I try to think about what's going to be important to that person, that company. Think about their current working environment, the problems they're dealing with. And if you're really a pro in this business, you will practice pre-call meditation, and you'll start enjoying the fruits of your labor big time. Number five, the fortune is in the follow-up. The fortune is in the follow-up. After all is said and done, more is actually said than is actually done. And what I mean by that, the key is follow-up. And everybody knows it, folks, but very few people manage to do it. And if you want to distance yourself from the competition, you know, do what you say you're going to do, and then do these three things. Number one, show up if you say you're going to show up. Number two, show up on time if you say you're going to show up on time. Number three, show up on time looking good if you say you're going to show up on time and be there. And then call them back when you say you're going to call them back. Because everybody's quick today promising things. It's easy to do. Most of us have good intentions, but very few people can be counted on to follow through consistently, to return calls, to follow up when they say they're going to follow up, to respond to emails. Be that person. Be the exception. Because if everybody did things the way most people do it, you wouldn't see people that are gravitating toward the top. But I want to think that one of the reasons that I've had success is because, you know, I make a point to follow up when I say I'm going to do something, and I try to do exactly what I tell that person I can do. And I don't give them an answer to give them an answer. I certainly don't try to lie to anybody. If I say I don't know it, I don't know it. I try to get that answer and get back to them. Number six, focus, focus, focus. I read something over the holidays when I was researching this talk tonight that 68% of lost business comes from a lack of attention. 68% of lost business comes from lack of attention. And if you counter that statistic by paying attention to your current customers, those on your prospect list, all the customers that we've lost but we still care about, then you can help to turn that around. We've got a lot of people in the sales industry known as hit-and-run artists, and it's costly. You think about it. You spend hours and hours investing money trying to schedule FaceTime with some stranger who owns a company, and you finally say and do what it takes to get some rapport, maybe get an appointment, but for whatever could be a million reasons, they don't choose to do business with us. And then what do? We drop them like a hot potato. But it's important to remember, you've got to remember to not give up on past clients or unsuccessful prospects. Contact them. Don't quit on them. Don't quit on yourself, because persistence will work when you administer it properly. And one of the things that I've tried to pride myself in is servicing my accounts. You know, I hit platinum for the 3 months in a row for the first time this past year, and there's no way I would have done that in my second and third months if I just didn't open the playbook and get out all of my accounts that I've been servicing and call on some of those and get some people that I trusted on my team and in my market area to help me call on those people, or I would never have hit those figures. And then every year during the Christmas holidays, when I go through and do some filing and sorting, I go through a lot of my old file folders, a lot of my old accounts, and I always get a list. And I've got right now a top 15 list of companies that at one time or another had the service, had dropped it, or the last member dropped off, or somebody that I thought was going to come through and they didn't. But maybe I can call, it's a different time, there's a different decision maker, and there may be an opportunity to do something now that I couldn't do before. I've told this story before, not sure on this call, but I have a school, I do a lot of schools in Alabama and have over half the school systems that are my accounts out of 135 public school systems in the state. And one of the ones I tried for years and years to get into a few years ago, you know, didn't tell me no, but he told me blank no. You know, he wasn't going to let me come in. Well, as you know, I just figured I'm going to be here a while. I'm going to wait him out. And sure enough, he retired. Well, the guy that came in his place, Kenneth Randy and Jeremy, I'm not making this name up, but he was a superintendent that came from Mississippi, and his name was Keith Davis. No lie. Keith Davis. And when I first talked to Keith about coming into his municipal school system, he said, Jimmy, I don't even know where the restrooms and the closets are right now. But if you give me a couple of weeks on the job, I'll be glad to meet with you. And long story short, that was 4 years ago, and I've been in his school district 3 times since then. Good reference, good referral, all because I went back to people that had turned me down previously. Number 7, the importance of good habits. The importance of good habits. Folks, our habits determine our future. Psychologists estimate that 90% of your behavior is habitual. 90%. Habits can help you do things more quickly and remove mental clutter so that you can think about more important things. But they can also be detrimental and lead us in directions that's out of lines with our dreams. And understand, folks, we're talking about goal setting this time of year. Everybody does it. But all a goal is a dream with a deadline. That's not my definition. That's by Napoleon Hill. But a goal is a dream with a deadline. But we all have dreams. But think about people that are getting ready to go next month into Sochi, Russia, and try to get gold medals in the Olympics, and they smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day. Or the person who dreams of being a fashion model, and they're eating a 6,000-calorie-a-day diet with no exercise. Or just say you're dreaming of leading a winning Legal Shield team, or selling anywhere from 20 to 50 group memberships a month, but you refuse to book decision-maker appointments, or you refuse to do 3 to 5 exposures a day. Because if your habits are bad, by the time the damage is evident, it's too late to alter your results. That's why you've got to take control of your habits now. Unless you're willing to confront the habits you need to change and institute new ones, you can read as many motivational books and material, even for those believers on the line that claim God's promises for that. But even with all that, you're not going to get anywhere. if you're not able to confront those habits that need to be changed. Read a quote, right across a quote from a Fortune 500 company founder who said, the individual who wants to reach the top must appreciate the might and force of habit. He or she must be quick to break those habits that can break him or her and hasten to adopt those practices that will become the habits that help him or her achieve the desire, achieve the success they desire. But it's true in all of life. You know, a dream becomes a reality as a result of our actions, and our actions are controlled by our habits. Robert Ringer, who does a lot of speaking around the country, motivational talks, he says, the world is saturated with intelligent, highly educated, and extraordinarily skilled people who experience ongoing frustration because of their lack of success. Millions of others spend their lives working hard, long hours only to die broke. So he says, what's the solution? And Ringer says, and I quote, remember, life is nothing more than the sum total of many successful years. A successful year is nothing more than the sum total of many successful months. A successful month is nothing more than the sum total of many successful weeks. A successful week is nothing more than the sum total of many successful days. That's why practicing successful habits day in and day out is the most certain way to win over the long term, end quote. So, guys, we got to take a realistic look at ourselves, know where our habits are taking us, and if they don't line up with our dreams, then we've either got to change our habits or we got to change our dreams. Because you've got to hold on to your dream, you've got to be prepared to change your habits, because a bad habit just never goes away all by itself. You know, when I started out in 2013, I didn't know it was going to be my best year ever in Legal Shield. But I had the best start ever. I had the best first quarter I'd ever had in Legal Shield. My previous 14 years in Legal Shield, I had made platinum in personal sales 7 times. And then in 2013, I made it 4 times just in that 1 year. You know, I set my goals at the beginning of the year. I wanted to open 25 groups. I wanted to do 1,000 personal sales. I wanted to hit 13,000 applications by the end of the year. And I hit all 3 of those by Halloween. Now, either I set my goals too low or things happened as a result of good habits that helped to develop. I want to say it was the latter. But, again, I was excited about where that was, but it positioned me to do more in 2014. And looking at point number 8 is make sure passion is a starting point. It's a starting point for all achievement, I believe. There's never been anybody who achieved anything of value who was not passionate about it. It's the energy, I think, that fuels all of our dreams, folks, because the road to success is cluttered with detours, problems, and disappointments, and if we don't have the right mindsets, our dreams are going to die on the vine. But there are days when the needle of my passion meter runs on empty. I'm sure it is with you, too. And I got to go back and remember God gave me my dream to begin with. I got to go back to Him, ask for strength, and, you know, keep moving toward that. Because between my dream's inspiration and its manifestation, there's going to be a lot of perspiration. I love that statement when I first read it. Between my dream's inspiration and its manifestation, there's a lot of perspiration. As every parent, I know there are a lot of parents on the line tonight, have found out it's much harder having and raising a child than conceiving a child. But if you have the passion for your dream, the price tag will not stop you. Albert Schweitzer said, success is not the key to happiness. Happiness is the key to success. Because, he says, if you love what you're doing, you will be successful. Folks, when we feel passionate about Legal Shield, allow ourselves to really get our heart and soul into that, you know, we position ourselves to succeed in this business. The majority of people in the world today do not follow their passion. And as a result, they're frustrated and unhappy. And we see how it is in their lives. A poll last year said 85% of people would change jobs if they felt like they could do it and not take a cut in pay. Malcolm Forbes, Forbes magazine, said the biggest mistake people make in life is not trying to make a living at what they enjoy. As a result of that, they simply endure their working lives instead of making the most of them, living for the weekends, trying to hang on till retirement. And that's a crying shame, because our chances of success are directly proportional to the degree of pleasure you derive by what you do. I mentioned Harold Pinson earlier. I know he's on the line tonight. I know he's a big baseball fan, and he'll appreciate this story by Tommy Lasorda, who's a former manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers baseball team, who was quoted as saying, the best day of my life is when I manage in a winning game, and the second best day of my life is when I manage in a losing game. In other words, every day he was involved in the game of baseball was the day he was living his dream. Can you say that about yourself in Legal Shield, folks? because the best career advice anybody would ever give you is to discover your God-given passion and follow it. I believe that's what I'm doing at Legal Shield. And so, in summary, number one, we said don't try to sell up. Number two, make your sales obsession. This year, helping people. Number three, be a good listener. Number four, show empathy in the sales process. Number five, the fortunes in the follow-up. Number six, focus, focus, focus. Number seven, the importance of good habits. Number eight, passion is a starting point. And last but certainly not least, manage your time or your time will manage you. Yeah, that mistake about time management could fill a book by itself, but I like to think about planning my day around the acronym WIN. WIN stands for What's Important Now. Because regardless of the task I have that day, I've got to keep asking myself, what's important use of my time right now? And as the day unfolds, it's undoubtedly going to change. But my chances of remaining focused on the most important task at the moment will be enhanced. Because at the stroke of midnight, December 31st, everybody on the call tonight, theoretically, we all crossed the border into the year 2014. I know it was an imaginary line, but it was an entryway into what is often a bizarre land. The year 2014 is just another part of the land of time. It is a state we will visit that we have never been in before. Time's an unusual thing. We can't see it. We can't touch it. And yet it surrounds all of us. But it dictates so many things in our lives. State of time. Divided to 365 days, 8,760 hours, over a half million seconds, over half a million minutes, and over 31 million seconds. But you think about it. What is life like in the state of time? Well, I think the state has three counties. The counties are named Was, Will Be, and Is. Was, Will Be, and Is. And most of our days are spent visiting these three counties in the state of time. So since we spend so much time here, let's look briefly at the landscape as we wrap up the call. First, look at the county of Was. It's a place dominated by memory. It's kind of a surreal place where nothing actually exists in the present. But it sure seems like everything is real, doesn't it, as we visit it. Everyone will drift in and out of this county, for there's a lot there. Many people will spend more time in Was than they'll spend anywhere else. Was is filled with good and bad. Sometimes the good things that you see in Was can be bad things. The reason being, you see them, and you think that all the rest of the state of time should look like Was. It does not, and it will not. That in itself can be discouraging, depressing, but also destructive. Because you see, some people visit Was, and they can't leave or they choose not to leave. Now, I would be wrong if I didn't tell you that there were some good things in the county of Was. There are great moments that can prove to be inspirational, encouraging, even instructive for your life. There are people that were there, achievements that you remember. Victories that were celebrated, they remain in Was. But there are also a lot of hurtful things in Was that need to be dropped, left, and forgotten. And I think all of us can recall many of those in that county. But for just a few moments, let's leave Was and go to the county of Will Be. This county is a land filled with high mountains, grand structures. Well, actually, it's the land of plans, hopes, and marvelous possibilities. It's just brimming with the anticipation of joy, new achievements, exciting new relationships. There are people who spend most of life in the county of Will Be. For some, it becomes a fantasy world where nothing is actually accomplished. And few good things are happening, though they never lose heart, they never lose hope. They just keep on dwelling over in the land of a magical new day. And surely, we need to dream and plan, project, strategize in the new year. But if someone just stays in the county of Will Be, nothing ever really happens. They're like the folks that plan meetings in order to plan other meetings. They're like the fellow whose philosophy was ready, aim, ready, aim, ready, aim, and he never pulled the trigger. But in this state of 2014, let's visit one other county. It's the county of Is. It is the only place we can actually change anything. For it is in this county that we can actually engage life and needs, and the possibilities become realities. It's here we actually live. We may go back to Was occasionally and enjoy visiting Will Be, but it's in Is that we function. It's in Is that lives are changed, growth takes place, recruits join our team, groups are opened, sales are made, achievements are celebrated. So what are we going to do? So that you can be your best, let me suggest three things that can happen in Is, and then I'm through. Number one, you can grow. You can follow the guidelines that Legal Shield as a company dictates. So attend the conventions, be on the more team calls, attend your weekly briefings, Super Saturdays, and watch for possibilities of professional, physical, spiritual, intellectual, and emotional growth, because you can grow in the county of Is. So the key word there is grow. Write that down, G-R-O-W. Number two, it is, you can observe. Write that word down, observe. By that, I don't mean you're just sit back and watch the world go by, but you can observe others and the needs that may be there and the possibilities that exist. I mean, we've got a quote in the New Testament where it says, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields. They're white with harvest." There are opportunities around us every day, folks, all the time, to make a difference in somebody's life. We've now got the greatest plan. We're looking at a new year with new pricing, new plan, best plan we've ever had in Legal Shield. But you've got to live in Is and keep your eyes open and observe. And number three, finally, you can do. Write that word down, D-O, you can do. For virtually every one of us, there are going to be possibilities that will come every day to do something that will be a blessing to others. You don't need to spend 365 days procrastinating. You've got to do what needs to be done. So over the hills and valleys of the state of 2014, there are going to be missed opportunities, moments of encouragement, times of rejection, joys of achievement. But from one of these experiences to the next, let God lead you to what he wants you to do. And when you take those three words, grow, observe, and do, look what spell when you take the first letter of each one of those three words. They spell God. And it may well be that if you follow that, you find God in your work and in helping others through your business. And I don't care if you're full-time in Legal Shield, part-time, you're a groupie, you're a networker. If you follow this pattern and try to apply these principles to your life, you'll be able to achieve more in 2014 than you've ever achieved in this business. So, Kenneth, Randy, and Jeremy, I'll take it back to you. Sorry to go a couple minutes over time.
Jimmy, you got all the time you need. Outstanding job. I always think you're going to do a great job, and then you do a greater than a great job. So I want to congratulate you on that, and it's certainly an honor and a privilege to have you on the team. And Jimmy, that's the reason I'm still with Legal Shield now, 30 years now, because I enjoy business with the people. I enjoy what I do. I know that when I get out there in the market or encourage somebody to market, that I'm being of service to humanity. You know, it's a good feeling to know you've been of service, and all of our people's that. And like I said, you did an outstanding job. Randy, you or Jeremy have any comments, please?
Only thing I have, Mr. Moore, is that I'm just very, very proud of Mr. Jimmy Parrish and what he stands for and how he does business and how he represents not only our team but Legal Shield. Mr. Parrish, we appreciate you so very much. You're a top producer. You're just a top-notch guy, and we really appreciate the work ethic that you have and just taking your valuable time out to help train our team. So thank you for being on the call, Mr. Parrish.
Thank you for the invitation, Randy and Ken. I appreciate that.
And here's one thing we want to remember, Randy. Our next call at 9 o'clock, of course, we're going to have one person that just got their BMW. I'm so proud of them. They will be on, but the founder of our company, Mr. Harlan Stonecipher, will be our guest on our 9 o'clock call. I tell you, Randy, you couldn't ask any better than have Jimmy Parrish and Harlan Stonecipher. So with that, Jimmy, thank you again. Folks, be ready at 9 p.m. Keep putting God first, family second, Legal Shield third. It's a great plan. It's going to work for you. It works for me. It'll work now, and it'll work in the future. God bless you, and we'll listen for you at 9.
Good night, everyone.